Blog Talk Radio. Right where you are.
Let all the people.
Friday, April 20th, 2018. And Taking the Limits Off is on the air live from your West Side studios located here on the third floor of Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church. Man, I'm excited as always to be here with you all, and we're going to have a good time today. Today's topic is going to be great. Y'all ready for this? Five things every congregation must understand about worship. That's today's topic. Five things every congregation must understand about worship. That's today's topic of the conversation. It's going to be a good time. I hope you're all ready for it. As always, it's your boy, your host, Miss Danny L. King, in the studio today. Looks like I'm by myself, but that's all right. I'm all good. God is with me, and I got the best producer in the land on the other side of the glass, and we good to go. Amen, amen, amen. Let me give you the rundown on how we can be a part, or how you, rather, can be a part of today's broadcast. If you're already listening on the line, simply push one and you could be a part of today's show. Again, if you're already listening on the line, simply push one and you could be a part of today's broadcast. If you're listening via Blog Talk Radio, simply dial area code 347-934-0546. Again, that's area code 347-934-0546. That's how you can be a part of the show. Again, call-in number, area code 347-934-0546. If you want to email the show, Taking the Limits Off at Comcast.net. Again, you can email the show, Taking the Limits Off at Comcast.net. That's how you can reach us, Taking the Limits Off at Comcast.net. If you want to follow us on social media, you can do that. If you want to tweet the show, feel free to do that. You can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. Again, you can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. Looking forward to hearing from you all in the Twitterverse. Again, you can tweet the show, TTLO Radio. That's where you can find us. Looking forward to hearing from you all that way. Again, tweet the show, TTLO Radio. That's where you can find us. Facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Again, that's Facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Radio, that's where you can find us. It's not like I'm singing a song, but that's where you can find us there. Again, you can find us there, TTLO Radio. Looking forward to hearing from you guys that way. And then if you want to follow us on Instagram, you can do that as well. Instagram. Just go to Instagram and do a search for TTLO Radio. Yeah, that's two T's, one L, one O, radio. That's where you can find us. Real easy to do. That's right, two T's, one L, one O. That's where you can find us on the radio. That's real simple, real simple. I just made that up in my head. Don't get me wrong. Y'all know I will drop some bars in here. Just playing. I will drop a few. Don't make me drop a hot 16 on you real quick. I'm really playing. But anyway, that's where you can find us there. You can also find us. Let's see the live streams. That's where I am. Let me get my stuff together. The live streams are finally up and running. Everything was like everything rebooted. I'll tell y'all the story in a minute. But you can find us on you can find us on Ustream.tv. Do a simple search for Taking the Limits Off Radio, and you will find us there. Do a simple search for Taking the Limits Off, and you can find us there. Looking forward to hearing from all of you all that way. Again, that's TTLO Radio on Ustream. Just do a simple search. You can find us there. And then we are live on Facebook right now, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. That's where you can find us right now on Facebook. And if you haven't already, go to the page, like the page. I really want to start drawing you all more towards my page. I want to start doing these lives directly from my page. We're in the process of changing some things. So going forward in the very, very, very near future, all of these live, the broadcast that we do, the streaming services will all be done via the TTLO page. You will not be able to come to my page to watch it. So you're going to have to go to the TTLO page. That's what I need y'all to do. So I'm going to need y'all to start getting accustomed to doing that. Amen. So again, TTLO Radio on Facebook. That's where you can find us. Facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Amen. And then last but not least, subscribe to our podcast. Do a simple search for Taking Limits Off Radio. You can find us there. Amen. Amen. And amen. Man, so look, let me start it off this way. I didn't even realize it until I saw it on the news earlier today that I guess that we are today is the ninth, is it the 19 year or 13 year? Let me get it right. 13-year, let me get it right now. I want to say it's 19 because I could be wrong, of the Columbine shooting. It's the anniversary of the Columbine shooting. Let me see here. What year is it? Come on. Somebody help me out, y'all. How long has it been? Is it 19 or 13? I got all this wrong. I had this pulled up, and then all my stuff disappeared when I tried to click on something. So anyway, but it's the anniversary. It's the anniversary of the shooting in Columbine that happened in Colorado. It was a while back, but you all remember when the students were shot in school by those two young men who decided that they were going to take lives. It is the 19th year anniversary. I was correct. Yeah, 19 years since that happened. Wow. It's been a sad day, but I see the students are walking out all around the country, walking out in protest to gun violence and such. And man, it's just one of those things where we have to keep, you know, continue these people. You know, these events happen and then we move on to the next event and to the next event and to the next event. But we have to do a better job. Thank you, Pat Hicks. We have to do a better job in trying to keep these things in memory, man, because you know what it is. It's a sad state of affairs. It's a sad state of affairs that these things happen and we forget them so quickly because the next event happens and the next event happens and the next event happens. Wow, that was 1999. That's crazy. It doesn't seem like it was that long ago. It's almost 20 years. And you know what the sad part about it is? We've had so many more mass shootings since then that you kind of forget about you move on and you just keep going. And at some point, we got to do a better job, man, in recognizing and remembering these people who've lost their lives and their families, because their families will never be the same. I don't care what happens with whatever laws that we change or anything that happens going forward. These people's lives will never be changed. So, I mean, it's like it's one of those things that where. We got to do a better job of continuing to keep these people in our prayers, man, because at some point, you know, and I hate to say it, we get numb. We get numb to these things. And you have a tendency to forget that lives were affected. And I'm sure there's not a day that goes by that the parents of these children who were slaughtered, the parents of these children who were slaughtered, don't go a day without thinking like, wow, like what else could, what, you know, like my baby's not here. My child is no longer here. That's got to be a horrible, horrible feeling. And that you're reminded constantly. And then think about them. Every time there's a mass shooting, I'm sure instantly their minds and their hearts goes back to their loved ones that were affected by this. So 19 years, man, since Columbine. 19 years since Columbine. And y'all remember they tried to blame it on the movies. They tried to blame it on the Matrix. Y'all remember that scene from the Matrix when they walked in, when Neo and old girl walked in to the place, and they tried to blame it on the Matrix situation. And no, we can't continue to do that. At some point, we have to realize that some people are just sick. Huh? Did I say that the wrong way or something? Some people are just sick, and there's not much you can do about sick folks. Sick folks are gonna do what they're gonna do, and our job is to make sure that sick people. I think that if nothing else happens, our job is to make sure that sick people no longer have access to weapons that they have no business having in the first place. I just think that's something we can do better at. We can do a better job at is making sure that people like these two individuals who shot up that school, that they don't have access to weapons. And the thing about it is they bought the guns legally. So we definitely want to just keep that in mind and keep those families in our prayers as we go about our days today. 19 years, man, since that shooting. That's that time really, really went by. Man, 19 years ago, 1999. Really? Really? Wow. Man, I don't even remember. Now my mind. Now, Pat Hicks, thank you for that. You got my mind wondering now. 1999. Man, I'm sitting back like, yeah. 1999. I was 29 years old. I have little recollection of my 29th year. I'm sitting there trying to think. What was I doing at 29? Let me see. I know I had just came back to church 2 years prior. I do remember that. I had just started coming back to church 2 years prior to that. So I do remember that. It was a year prior to that. Because I came back to church in 98. So, yeah, I had one year back in service to the Lord. I had just that much I remember. I do remember that much. 1999. Wow. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Well, yeah. So anyway, look, what else is going on? So look, locally, is somebody going to praise God for the sunshine and the 54 degree weather we got outside right now on today? Huh? Somebody ought to just shout because the sun is shining and the wind ain't blowing too hard and you ain't got to put no gloves and hat and stuff on. My God. Well, Jesus, you ought to just be excited about man. Look here, maybe it's just me. Maybe y'all ain't been miserable like I have. This weather has just made me utterly miserable. But I just want to celebrate the fact that it's. Look here, I just want to celebrate the fact that it's 54 degrees outside. We ought to be praising God for that. And ain't no rain in the forecast. Come on now. Come on now, what you saying, Felicia? Felicia says get rid of the Second Amendment. Well, now you know that ain't gonna happen, Felicia. That ain't gonna happen because I believe in the right to bear arms. So I can't agree with you on that one. I believe wholeheartedly, and folk that know me know I believe. I believe wholeheartedly in the Second Amendment, the right to bear arms. However, I'm not saying I don't believe we ought to get rid of guns and all of that. I don't think we ought to take folks' guns away. I just think we need that the access needs to be. You don't agree? You don't think we should have the right to bear arms? So you okay? Well. See, Felicia, you know if our society, let me say it like this, if our society was a little bit different, and everybody had a fair shake. And everybody had a reasonable access to everything, and people weren't being discriminated against, and people weren't being. Here's the problem with if you say you get rid of the Second Amendment, the first issue we should. I was asking, is that what people want? No, I don't think the Second Amendment needs to be gotten rid of, but I do believe there needs to be an amendment to the Second Amendment. That's what needs to happen. There needs to be an amendment to the Second Amendment. There needs to be some clarity on it. I think that's the issue. That's the larger issue. If there was some if there was an amendment to the amendment, if there was an addendum added, is that the right phraseology? An addendum? I don't know if that's the right one, but I believe it is. If there was an addendum added to the amendment. To clean up some stuff, then I think we'd have a little less go get your license. Absolutely. There's been an influx of more women getting their gun license and concealed. When the concealed carry thing came to Illinois, more women signed up than men. These are facts. There was too many studies, especially in Illinois. More women signed up for concealed carry permits than men did. More women went out and got. In Illinois, you're required to have a firearm license card. I can't think of the name of the word now. I was going to call it FICA, but that's the wrong thing. But you have to have a FOID card. Thank you. You need to have a FOID card in Illinois in order to carry a weapon or to own one. In a lot of states, you don't need a gun license. You can just walk in with your ID and buy a gun. But in Illinois, you need a FOID card, a federal owner's identification card. That's what you need here in our state. But yeah, man, I just thought I would share that with you all about that and some other stuff. So can we talk about some? Can we gonna talk about some? I wanna talk about something a little fun. So did y'all hear this deal that's going on with Wendy Williams and the Clark sisters? Did y'all hear what's going on with Wendy Williams and the Clark sisters? I mean, it's amazing to me. Let me just jump into what was said. let me pull it up from a reputable source. Hold on a second, because some of these gossip websites I just can't go to because too much stuff pops up. Let me pull it from a reputable source. Yeah, I wasn't gonna call her that, but Felicia, you said it. Wendell. Anyway, this is apparently what it says. It says, while discussing the gospel charts during her Hot Topics segment, Williams suggested the group must feel bad that Snoop Dogg's debut Christian album, Snoop Dogg Presents Bible of Love, which features the Clark sisters, reached number one. Then she says, while they have never charted so high after years in the industry. And then she goes on to say, if I were the Clark sisters, I would be mad that Snoop Dogg got number one. That's what she said now. And then she says, come on, computer. Then she says, Wendy asked her audience, you know the Clark sisters. They've been doing gospel forever. Have they ever gotten number one? Then she sighed, step up your game, Clark sisters. So after she made this statement, Wendy Williams, we're talking about. We're talking about Wendy Williams, y'all. Y'all know Wendy. I'm still trying to figure out how she still has a show. After she made this comment, she got hit by Yolanda Adams, Fred Hammond, Williams, Tasha Cobbs, Dedrick Hatton, Kirk Franklin, and others from the gospel world quickly defended the group with Kiara Sheard, daughter of Clark's sister Karen Clark Sheard, telling Williams that their value goes beyond record sales. They also let fans know that the group has, in fact, gone number one before. Gospel facts. The Clark sisters have been serving in the gospel community for 50-plus years, starting their career in 1966. Under the leadership of their mother, Dr. Maddie Moss Clark, the Clark sisters performed worldwide from nation to nation. They have won several Grammys, Stellars, Doves, and more, selling millions of records, hitting number one on the top on top of the charts. The Clark sisters have made a large impact in the gospel community. It went on to say, I would be nothing. Kirk Franklin goes on to say, he says, I would be nothing without the Clark sisters. I'm not even in the same category. I'm just now getting where they started. Salute. Motown Gospel says, celebrating the Clark sisters today, whose last album released by us in April of 2007, definitely hit number one at the Billboards. 2007. Get your stuff right. I don't know. Right, Felicia, seriously, and she will never take Oprah's place. Right. I'm going to say it like this. I know that there are no other, like, really serious, there's no other real talk shows on right now. You got, you know, these other people, Regis and Lord have mercy. Kelly and, what's the dude's name? Kelly and Ryan. You can't really count Maury Povich and the crew. Who is it? Maury Povich. What's the other one? Jerry Springer still come on, right? No? Jerry Springer don't come on no more? Do Jerry Springer? Okay, I don't know. Jerry Springer. What's the guy? Don't Jerry Springer, security guard, don't he got a talk show? This is how bad talk shows have gotten. Don't his security guard, the guy who used to do his security, used to run up on the stage and grab the people before they started fighting? Y'all help me out. Y'all know what I'm talking about. What was his name? Bob? Stan? What was his name? Don't he got a talk show? Y'all going to sit here and act like y'all don't know what I'm talking about. So y'all watch this stuff and y'all want to play holier than thou. Tanya, thank you. Thank you. What's his name? Steve. Thank you. Steve. Okay, Steve who?
Wilco Show.
Oh, the Steve Wilco Show. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, Steve. Yeah, exactly. Who? Does anybody even watch? Who's going to watch a show called Steve?
Well,
Steve. Just don't even sound right. I'm sorry. But so it ain't like Wendy Williams has. There are no real talk shows out here anymore. She's got this slot. She has her following because she gossips in the first 25 minutes of the show, and then she sits down and does, yes, Jerry's still on. Okay, they're still on. Thank you. You got all these people. Thanks, Tanya, and thank you. Who's that, Felicia? And thank you, Pat Hicks. I guess my stuff coming up late. All y'all talking, and I'm missing it. But I mean, does anybody even take her seriously? First of all, let me say it like this. I think some people overreacted because she spoke without knowledge, and that happens quite often on TV. You have a lot of people. Trust me, you have a whole lot of people making a whole lot of money on television right now who speak without knowledge. If you don't believe me, just turn to Fox News. However, I will say this. You got to be careful, man, when you can't. And then somebody posted the Billboard chart from the live One Last Time, the Clark Sisters' last album, well, not their last live album, One Last Time, charted number one, was spent 2 weeks at number one in April of 2007. I only watch TTLO and the 5150 show. What's the 5150 show? The rest is garbage. What's the 5150 show? I'm going to need you to watch. Hey, Felicia, I'm going to need you to watch the Donna Patrick show. Donna Patrick got a good show. Since you like, you know, she has a good show. Check her show out on Facebook and listen to her. She has a great show. Had to give a shout out to my sister down there in Texas. Down there in Texas. Oh, you say Google it. I'm on air. Can't you Google it and tell me what it is? That's what y'all for. Help the brother out. Anyway. So they went in on Wendy. They started calling her Wendell, you know. And then somebody asked the question, Lexi. Y'all know who Lexi is? Y'all know who? Yeah, the Donna Patrick show. Donna Patrick. She hosts the radio show in Texas, but she does it live on Facebook too. You should check it out. I interviewed her. She interviewed me. Y'all was here. Y'all be acting brand new like y'all don't remember stuff. I'm the one with the bad memory around here. Don't nobody else get to use that but me. So anyway, Lexi, y'all know who Lexi is. I don't know if y'all know who Lexi is. Lexi is a gospel talk show host. She does a gospel talk show. And she went in on Wendy Williams. I mean, went all the way in. Called up Wendell, called them everything. Then she asked her, she said, has your marriage ever reached? I mean, now here's the bad part. Some of these Christian folk, some of these Christian folks showed their true colors in the way some of them responded. You only seen the interview she did with Tone. You going way back. That was a good interview, though. Look here, that was a good interview. But she's a Christian, but she went all the way in. You called a woman out of name. You talked about how her marriage and what was going on and all this other kind of stuff. Is that really Christ-like to attack folks' marriages? We got to do better than that. Some of y'all showed y'all true colors. I mean, it just went on and on and on and on. And now folks was, oh, my God. So look. Somebody said, watch this. Somebody said, I don't know why I'm reading this tweet. It says, I don't know why y'all in y'all feelings about Wendy Williams talking about the Clark Sisters. Her producers feed her wrong information every day. I'm done. Anyway, I just had to share that with y'all. Look, the Clark Sisters has been around. I know the relevance. I know how relevant the Clark Sisters are to gospel music. And here's the thing. Even if they didn't have a number one, it's just some stuff you don't say. Right? Now watch this. Even if they never had a number one record, Wendy Williams was completely and utterly wrong to even go there and say that. So, but it's a lot of folks that popped up out of their character, and Christians supposed to be lighting the way and showing people what to do and how to and how to do stuff. And some folks just did a little bit too much. it was a bit much. It was a bit much. So y'all pray for the people, and y'all pray for Wendy Williams that she don't get on the air and say nothing else stupid about the Clark sisters, because you know you can't come for the gospel community, because then we defend all. But somebody said this: can you defend the faith? Can you defend your beliefs as quickly as y'all jump to defend Wendy Williams? If somebody walk up to you and tell you there is no God and there is no Jesus, can you defend the faith? Can you defend your beliefs like you defended the Clark sisters? Because folks quickly went online and Googled to defend the Clark sisters to find out that they had a couple of number one records. But will y'all do the same thing if somebody tells you you're wasting your time going to church, will you defend the faith like you defended what's the lady's name? Twinkie, Karen, what's the other one? Twinkie, Karen, y'all know I don't know nobody's name. Twinkie Clark, Karen Clark, and then the other two.
I don't even know their names. That's bad.
I don't even know the Clark sisters. Don't y'all attack me for not knowing the Clark sisters' name. I do not know that. I don't know their full names. I just know Twinkie and Karen and, Jackie. Which one is Jackie? What's she do? Now I'm finna get in trouble, because see, I don't. Dorinda. Right. I'm sorry. How I forget Dorinda? Right. I forgot about Dorinda. I'm sorry. Dorinda. Dorinda Clark Cole, right? Is that what it is? Dorinda Clark Cole? I forgot all about Dorinda. Y'all pray for her. But what Jackie do? I'm finna get in trouble now myself. What do. What. What do Jackie do? Did Jackie do go solo too? Did Jackie do a solo piece? Jackie Clark, is her last name still Clark, or did she marry out too? Is she Jackie Clark hyphenated something? What did she do? Hey Donna, hey. Help me out. I'm sorry. Did Jackie, she said, I need to hush. I'm sorry. I'm going to stop. I don't want the people coming out after me. I just want to know what Jackie did. Y'all tell me what Jackie did, and I'll move on. What is she doing right now? I mean, I know she was part of the group. I ain't being funny. I know she's part of the group, but what else did she do anything on her own? Let me see, Jackie Clark. Let me look it up, because they all keep telling me to Google. Jackie Clark, is this her? Let me see, Jackie Clark about. No, I don't think this is it. Oh wait, maybe this is it. Jackie Clark. No, that ain't it. I don't know who. No, what did she do? Now I know Maddie Moss was bad. Now see, that's different. I know Maddie. I see now Maddie Moss, Mama Clark. I know she was cold. I'm just trying to ask y'all about Jackie Clark. And ain't nobody telling me what Jackie Clark did. Now, what'd Jackie do? Because I'm starting to. She's saying now, hush. Because I'm starting to get a Jackie Clark. For some reason, I'm starting to feel a Jackie Jackson spirit. Y'all know Jackie Jackson, right? He was just one of the Jackson Five. I'm starting to feel like Jackie Clark has got a Tito type of, you know, a Marlon. You know, Jermaine did have a. But Jackie. This is probably not a good idea. But see, this is why I shouldn't be in the studio by myself. But, you know, Jackie Clark, I'm trying to get some understanding. Is Jackie, is she kind of like Jackie Jackson or LaToya? Or is she like Rebe? I'm starting to get a Rebe Jackson. I'm feeling a Rebe Jackson spirit coming upon, you know. did she come up with any? Did Jackie do anything? Somebody help me with Jackie Clark. Y'all ain't nobody told me nothing. Tanya, Let me ask my producer, because ain't nobody. Because Donna Patrick is yelling at me from Texas. She yelling at me all the way from Texas. Can somebody help me? What did ain't nobody like Latoya? Tanya, could you find out if Jackie Clark did anything? I'm just curious. I need to know if she did anything. I need y'all's help. That's all. And I'm gonna move on. The sooner y'all tell me what she did, the quicker I will move on. Because, you know, she could have been like this here. Oh, wait. Jackie Clark Chisholm, Denise Clark Bradford. Wait. Jackie Clark Chisholm, Denise Clark Bradford. Who is Denise? Twinkie Clark Terrell, Dorinda Clark Cole, and Karen Clark Shea. All right. So what did Jackie, so it's J-A-C-K-Y. Thank you. Thank you. Maybe I can find some. J-A-C-K-Y Clark. Oh, here we go. Jackie Clark Chisholm. I found her. Let's see. She got some songs. She got only two songs on this thing. Jackie Clark. She got a song called Shout and a song called Cover Me. The title album, she has two albums. One called Jackie. And the other one is called Cover Me. Okay. Can we get a little sample? Let me see what. Really? 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 Okay. I'm done. Y'all couldn't hear that on the radio side. I'm sorry. But that was that it? I understand. I understand. Yeah, Jackie, I'm sorry, but Jackie is officially Reby. She is officially Reby. And I'm just gonna go on and get ready and do it like Reby.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It's just,
Lord. Anyway, I'm done with the Clark sisters. We gonna take a quick break. I already know it's gonna come back to get me. I already know it. Y'all just Jesus be a fence all around me every day. He know I need it. We gonna take a quick break. When we come back, we gonna jump into some more conversation, and then we're going to hop into this article, and then we're going to get out of here, y'all. Y'all stay blessed, man. Come on, y'all. Old school. T-T-L-O. Be right back. Come on. I'll be right back, y'all. Let me do this while we good now. I got a little music playing in the background. I forgot to give y'all some church announcements. I'm sorry. I was just having fun. I wasn't really trying to, you know. I know some people probably won't put some kind of way. I'm going to watch Unsung. Thank you, Pat. I'm going to watch Unsung. I think I got that one recorded. I think that one is on DVR. Hopefully it didn't get deleted. I'm going to check it out and see. More about the rest of them. I just didn't know nothing about Jackie. I know nothing about Jackie. I didn't know nothing about Jackie Clark. And then I just found that song, and I understand why.
Oh, Lord.
Anyway, let me give y'all this real quick. Church announcements. Let me get the best announcement clerk ever in the history of all announcement clerks. Let me get the voice ready. The best announcement clerk in the history of all announcement clerks. What's going on, Isis? I saw your hey. I'm sorry. Hey, how you doing? Let me get the best announcement clerk voice ready. Let me get my Miss Goggins, Mother Goggins announcement voice ready. So I can do this announcement for you all.
This Saturday, Sunday, April 22nd at 11 a.m., Kingdom Baptist Church Family and Friends Day. The theme for this year is keeping the family together. Mm-hmm. Keeping the family together comes from the book of Colossians 3, 12, and 14. Colossians 3, 12, and 14. That's the scripture that they're using. Colossians 3, 12 through 14. That's the scripture. I'm going to read it for you so you can have some understanding. Amen? Amen. Colossians 3 and 12 through 14 says this. It says, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have any quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. So yeah, that's this Sunday at the Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church, 301 North Central, right here, downstairs. So you all are welcome to come out, bring your family and your friends, keeping the family together. Amen. Amen. That's it. Now y'all govern yourselves accordingly to the church announcements. Amen. That's right. Govern yourselves accordingly to the church announcements. Y'all come out. Seriously, y'all come out. Family and Friends Day. April 22nd, that's this Sunday, April 22nd, Family and Friends Day. Keeping the family together is the theme. Y'all come out. Y'all more than welcome to come out. Have a good time here at the Kingdom Church, as the people like to say, the Kingdom Church. Y'all come on down, spend some time, have a good time. Come on, have your good Holy Ghost time. Family and Friends Day. Bring everybody you know. Can y'all do it like that? Bring everybody you know. Everybody. All of them. All of the peoples. Just won't you, you know, all of the peoples. In the words of Reverend Tab Miller, won't you come? You won't you come? So y'all come on down and join us April 22nd, Family and Friends Day, all that good stuff. Amen, amen. Looking forward to having y'all there. It's going to be some food. We're going to have some refreshments immediately following service. So y'all can come on down and spend some time over at the Kingdom Church. Amen. Amen. All right. Got that. Is there anything else? Did I miss anything else? No more announcements. Excuse me. Good. All right. So last thing real quick. Last newsworthy item. Let me explain something. Y'all know Scottie Pippen, right? Y'all know Scott. I got two things. First thing, Scottie Pippen. Let's talk about this for a hot minute, because this is just Scottie.
Just when you thought it was all over, ABK and Reverend right back at you, baby. From the shower with a new flavor.
Come on now. So we're good to go. We're good to go. So we got this really good article. I'm sorry, y'all. We having technical difficulties all over. We had technical difficulties when I got here. You know, we had it when I got here. All type of stuff was going on. You know, so don't, y'all just pray my strength through these last few minutes of today's show. But anyway, as I was stating earlier, we have a really good article, and I really want to delve into it today. And it's going to be good, man. It's going to be good. Again, the article is simply entitled. Five Things Every Congregation Must Understand About Worship. Five Things Every Congregation Must Understand About Worship. It's good, y'all. I promise you it's good. And hopefully y'all are ready for it. It's Praise Break Friday. Y'all know what we do. So we always have a good time on Praise Break Friday. And I think what we ought to do, because I just need to set the atmosphere sometime for some Praise Break. So let's do this, y'all. Let's just do one. Ken, y'all don't mind, do you? Come on.
You want to wait for a manifestation of something else to happen. What you working with? Tap your neighbor and say, what you working with? Tell him I can't wait for tomorrow. Because he's been too good. Hey, shut up.
I just had to change the atmosphere in the room a little bit. We got a little low. Five things every congregation must understand about worship. Five things. Let's jump right into this, shall we? The writer says this. This is good. This is good stuff. The writer says this. He says, let me give you the writer. The writer is Dan Wilkes. This is from churchleaders.com. Y'all know where we get a lot of our articles from. But the writer says this. He says, I've now spent most of my adult life, 30 years, thinking about leading and teaching on the topic of worship. He says, it's been central to my life's call to reflect on why we do what we do in worship in settings like local churches, conferences, events, and universities. He says, after interacting with contemporary worship ideas around the world over these past three decades, here are the top five most important things I believe. So this is his opinion now, not Dana's. I believe every congregation needs to understand about worship. So here we go. The writer says this. He goes on to say, he says, as each of the following sections is a summary, I promise that I will leave out language about worship that is important to someone. He probably will do that. He says, but in this setting, the summaries will have to suffice. Under each point, I suggest what we get wrong, how we get it right, and I hope these things are helpful to our shared understanding of worship. So, five things every congregation must understand about worship. He says, now I will use the words who, what, when, where, and why, and how to cover these five ideas. So here we go. Number one. These are long too, y'all. My God. Number one says this. Number one says, why do we worship? We worship the God of the Scriptures. Why do we worship? Or who do we worship, rather, he says. Who do we worship? We worship the God of the Scriptures. This is what the writer says. He says, if Christian worship is distinctly anything, it is a response of the affections to the God who has pursued us since the beginning of time. He says, that God is not the generic God of all faiths or religious narratives. That God is the specific God revealed in the creating Father, the saving Son, Jesus Christ, and the empowering and comforting of the Holy Spirit. Creational stories, not to be confused with creation stories, may resonate with similar human virtues between religious faiths, but our redemptive stories are radically different, as are our descriptive stories of who God is and how he works in our lives. So let's go. He says, according to the Gospel of John, where the Spirit is, there is Jesus and the Father. Where the Son is, there is the Father and the Spirit. And where the Father is, there are the Son and the Spirit. Oh, my God. So he says, we worship the Trinitarian God, and we worship each person of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Okay, I'm with you so far. He says, and give thanks for specific things each does and has done. He goes on to say, if we mess up who we worship, then we become lost in idolatry, and we miss who God is. We skew who we are as well and others around us. He says, injustice always follows idolatry. Oh, my goodness, this is good. Injustice always follows idolatry. He says, we worship the God who is the creator, Genesis 1:1, kings, the king, Psalms 142 and 1, Trinity, Deuteronomy 6 and 4, and Savior, come on now, Matthew 1 and 21. He says, what we get wrong. Uh-oh, here we go. He says, it's cool to be nonspecific about God today. Uh-huh. But not everything everyone believes is true. He says, it can't all be true. As many things people believe contradict other views of the world, and the result of belief systems have extreme impact. Christian worship is specific God. Let me start that over. Christians worship the specific God who reveals himself in Jesus Christ. It sounds good today. It sounds good to today's tolerance generation to say we're all worshiping the same God, but we know that's not true. Can we stay there for a minute? We need to make sure we correct people. Because I have some Muslim friends. I remember when I was helping do a paper and I had to study different religious faiths. And part of that was we had to go to a mosque. And the brother who was running the mosque, he made a point. He says, at the end of the day, we're all worshiping the same God. And I had to correct him. I said, no, that's not true. I said, because your Allah and my God is two different things. Your Muhammad and my Jesus are two separate things. So we got to be careful when we let people slide by saying, well, we're all worshiping the same God. Come on now. Let's go. So then he says this. He says, not all of the competing stories about God can be simultaneously true. And we're being lazy if we think they are. The Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, it centers us. The Trinity keeps us focused on worshiping God in the person of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who reveals himself in both love and truth. Ah, he says, we also sing too generically about God. Okay, now somebody help me out now. We sing too generically about God. He says, it reminds me of some of my Hindu friends whose homes would have hundreds of images of gods in them, along with a picture of Jesus, just in case one of the other religions is right. He says, how we get right. So let's talk about that. When the writer says, we sing too generically about God, we need to be mindful of the songs that we sing. Because a lot of times the word him, we have to assume that the word him is talking about Jesus or talking about God or talking about the Holy Spirit. But we need to be careful that when we're singing, that we're pointing people back to Jesus. Because, see, it's real easy because, there's a lot of gospel music out there and a lot of it sound a little shaky. And you need to make sure that, for one, that the song can scripturally pass the smell test. Huh? Can the song pass the scriptural biblical test? Can it withstand that, or is it just a song with a good organ sound? You got a good Hammond B3 in the background, some good drums, some good lead, and all that, and it makes you feel good. So you just assume it's gospel. We need to be careful that we're not just generically praising God. We need to be specific in the God we're praising. We need to be specific. If it's about Jesus, then guess what? You ought not be afraid to mention his name every now and then. Felicia says, I remember a person questioned a song called He's All Right. She was like, he's just all right. Yeah. Yeah. I can tell you right now, here's a song that I've never been a fan of. And I like me some Dottie Peoples. Y'all know Dottie Peoples. You know, she's still wearing that bun. I'm going to try not to get in trouble today. But y'all know Dottie Peoples. Y'all know Dottie. She's still wearing that bun. But Dottie Peoples got a song. And it's simply entitled, Long As I Got King Jesus, I Don't Need Nobody Else. Now, I've never been a fan of that song, because that song is not really truthful. It's really not truthful. I'm a little confused about that song. So you know what I'm saying? It sounds good. It got a good beat to it, and you clap and you do. You know. I'm sorry. Is it Vicky? That's Vicky Wine. It ain't Dottie Peoples. I'm sorry. That's Vicky Wine. You right, Felicia. Excuse me. Dottie Peoples is the one that's the on-time God, right? That's who that is. I'm sorry. Thank you, Felicia. That's Vicky. That's Vicky Wine. You know, she married into the family. But she got that song that I'm not a fan. I've never been a fan of the song. So let's continue. Let's continue. The writer goes on and says, how do we get right? How do we get right? He says, we need to talk about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all the time so it's clear the God we mean when we talk about God. And he says, and we need to sing clearly about the Father and the Son and about the Spirit. Amen? Amen. Amen. Right. I know, but Vicky made it popular. That's what it was. All right. So that was number one. Let me try to get y'all this. These articles are super. These points are super long today. And FYI, y'all, I had a meeting yesterday, just to give you some context, with Pastor Daniel Garrett yesterday. He blessed me with a quick little training course on this nice little new software that we're going to start using real soon. So now you can actually just see the article come across your screen. Where you see my face, you'll see the article pop up. The little points will pop up on the screen. So I didn't get a chance to do it today. But down the line, Pastor Garrett did take the time, and I appreciate him yesterday for helping out yesterday, which was excellent, excellent. And I thank him for that, for taking his time out. I know pastors are busy, so you have to be mindful of their time. So I was appreciative of him helping the brother out yesterday. Amen. Amen. So let me do this. Let me drop this in here. So that was number one. That was number one. So that's, is that all of number one? Because these are super long. Jesus Christ superstar. Lord have mercy. All right, here we go. All right. So that was number one. And we're going to get that in. So the writer goes on to say this. Number two says, why do we worship? And worship is a response to God's pursuit. Why do we worship? And worship is a response to God's pursuit. This is good, y'all. This is good. This is good. I love it. I love it. The writer goes on to say this. He says, John 4:19 tells us the reason we worship. He says, I've watched churches for years and get this fundamental idea wrong when they gather. He says, as the King James Bible puts it, we love him because he first loved us. We love because we've been loved. He says, I worship because I love, and I love because I worship. God loved you, and now it's your turn to respond with complete surrender. Then God expresses his love to you more, and you and I respond again. What do we get wrong? This is the good part. He says, we act like we are the ones doing the work of worship. We hype people up. We rate their interaction on a scale of 1 to 10 and build false visions of when worship is being effective or not based on how demonstratively people are responding. Mm-hmm. He says, pastors, and I speak as one, are notorious for evaluating the effectiveness of worship expressions on the response of the room. Yes, we can read some things by observation, but to make our census, the evaluation monitoring system to determine if real worship is happening at any given time. Room dynamics are the wrong metric for evaluating the worship experience, and our perceptions will often fail us related to worship. How many of y'all guilty of that? Because the room ain't responding the way you think they should respond, you assume worship didn't go forward. I'm going to get crickets right now. Tanya, we need cricket sound. I need a cricket soundtrack loaded. I'm going to get crickets. That's right. All right. You know, because we've sat in rooms and we've been leading praise and worship or sitting there and wondering how come ain't nobody clapping and why are you only getting one response from one section of the room. And instantly we assume that people aren't worshiping. Now, don't get me wrong. Sometimes they ain't. But that can't be the only metric of how you measure whether or not worship has been effective or not. So this is what the writer says. He says, how do we get it right? He says, if someone is responding to experiencing God's love and drinking deep of the story of God through word, sacrament, and other means given to us, then all is well. But full stop. We don't need to do religious gymnastics. So as Eugene Peterson said, God sees how hard we're working and smiles on us. That's good. So again, every praise and worship session in your church, every worship service, it ain't going to be a shouting session. Because here's the deal, especially if it's not authentic. Now, like I said to y'all about them holiness churches. Oh, my God. Well, like I said to y'all before about them holiness churches, it's one thing when it's authentic. and you can see that this is just the atmosphere of the room, and this is just how they worship. This is just what they do. This is just how they connect to God. That's different from people contriving worship. You can't force people into worship. Just because the band starts to play a bump a certain way, that don't mean you're supposed to get up and start dancing. Because the question is, are you dancing because the band started playing the shout music, or are you shouting for a specific reason? Thank you, Donna. Thank you. I knew somebody was listening. I knew somebody was listening. I knew I had somebody listening. Amen. It's got to be more to it than just the band playing the shout music and y'all get excited and start jumping around. It has to be more to it, because if that's all it takes, then are we really worshiping, or are we dancing? Are we treating the club? Are we treating the church like a nightclub when our favorite song came on? Is that what we're doing? I mean, seriously, you know what I'm talking about. You know, when you used to go to the club, I know some of y'all have been saved for a long time, but when you used to go to the club and your favorite song came on, they couldn't beat you to the dance floor. And now in churches, the minute the musician, even if nothing led up to the process, the minute the musician starts to play a little bump, you see folk running and start jumping and shouting. Oh, my. Now, Donna Patrick, don't. Now, see, I can shout just off what she just typed. Huh? I can shout off that. She said, Donna Patrick says, there is validity in be still and know that I am God. Look out now. Look out now. There is validity, come on now, in be still and know that I am God. My. Felicia Martin says, I told you when the house music come on, I'd be on work. Hey, look here. I'm a house head true and true. I was a house head. Look, I wouldn't even say was. I'm still a house head. If I hear some house music, I'm just going. That's just me. Because house music just was something else. It's a different brand of music. But you can't use a church bump and you just get up and you just start dancing around just because the organ player decided to start playing the music. There has to be a reason for you getting up and celebrating. There should be a reason that you got up and started. There has to be more than just the fact that, oh, this is the part of the service I like, so let me get up and shout. There has to be some authenticity in your relationship with God. Donna says, and remember, God doesn't need music to move in his own house. Oh, my. Come on now. Hey, huh? You don't need no music. Because watch this. Can I help somebody? Donna, I'm going to take it a step further. I guarantee you there was no Hammond B3 in the upper room. Oh, God. Huh? I guarantee you there was no Hammond B3. Come on now. There was no bass guitar. And there was no there were no drums or none of that in the upper room. But I promise you, the Holy Ghost still filled the room. Come on now, and some shouting and some tongue speaking took place. But wasn't nobody playing not one chord, huh? There was nobody saying, "Put me in E flat, Doc." Come on now, wasn't nobody saying, "Put me in E flat"? That didn't happen. They just shouted because the Spirit of God moved upon the place. That's why they shouted. That's why they got excited. That's why there was a move of the Holy Ghost. That's why they had an indwelling of the Spirit. Come on now. That's why they did it. That's how they did it. Let's keep going. That was good. Let me drop this in here for you real quick, and then we're going to keep it moving. Let me drop this in there, and we're going to keep it moving. Amen. Number two. Yep. Come on. Drop that in there. Boom. All right. So that was number two. Number three says this. Number three says, what is worship? Worship is a whole life response to God. Oh, my. What is worship? Worship is a whole life response to God. That's what it is. It's a whole life response to God. The writer says this, Romans 12, 1 and 2 is a peculiar passage in the New Testament. He says in it, the writer is using a common worship practice for their age, sacrifice, as a metaphor for what God is really after in worship. He says this, he says, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you take you everyday, ordinary life, you're sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit in without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God and you'll be changed from the inside out. Oh, this is good. The writer of Romans is saying, as dead as a dead sacrifice is, that is how living our living sacrifice is to be. He says, in our personal lives, public lives, financial stewardship, choice of college majors, job choice, relationship with family members, and etc., we are responding to the love of God. Oh, this is good. He says, the quality of that response is an ongoing task of the Christian. What we get wrong. If worship is only as big as our church service, he says, then our vision of worship is very small. What I mean by this is our gathered worship is vital to our life of faith. He says our individualism becomes holy individuality within community when we break the bread and receive the cup. But we must never confuse the flower of faith, our lives, with the rain of the earth that nurture it. God is seeking our lives, not our songs and sacraments. Oh, my God. He says, though I will say here, they mutually feed one another, and we may ultimately not be able to sustain the life without the liturgies. Corporate gathered worship is central to our life of faith. We need larger fires to keep our individual flame alight. How do we get it right? This is good. If worship is a response to God, then everything I do in life is a response. The way I treat my spouse, my kids, my boss, my roommate, it's all a response to God's pursuing love. Oh, number three is rich. Oh, that's good. That blessed me. I don't know about y'all. My God, that blessed me. Amen. Amen. This is good, y'all. This is good here. Amen. Look, this is what we're going to do, y'all, because I'm having one little technical issue here on one little side. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to continue with number four and number five. Amen. Amen. Be right back, y'all. TTLO. Friday, and we've been talking about five things every congregation must understand about worship. That's been our topic today, man. We're going to continue with this. This is pretty good. I love this. I love this. Man, Fitzgerald Hardy, what's going on, sir? I saw you just joined in. I saw you popped your head in for a minute, man. I got to get you on the show, man. You got to come in here one day and sit in with me, bro. I'm sure you got some wisdom to impart, especially on one of these Fridays, man. You come on in here on the Praise Break Friday, man. I love having a talented musician in the room. Amen. You got to come in and join me one Friday, man, and sit on in here on Praise Break Friday and have a sit down with your boy. Amen. Amen. But let's continue. Number four says this. Let me get this music down. Yep. Number four says this. This is what the writer says. He says, We're talking about five things every congregation must understand about worship. Number four, he says, how do we worship? Oh, yeah. How do we worship? He says, we worship by any means available to us. To withhold worship is to breed cynicism, yeah, and interior self-sufficiency. He says that will serve many, it seems, just fine, until we reach our limits. He says, typically, revealed by crisis or nearness of death, and we see they are not enough. He says, to offer worship is to get beyond spectating at an electrical outlet. It is to plug into the power that it helps us connect to. That is a choice. Oh, my God. I love this. He says, our physical actions affect our emotions. We posture ourselves to pray. Our hearts lean into prayer, and we engage in worship physically. Our hearts are affected. Yeah. He says, this is the reason we're demonstrative at a football game or at a concert. Mm-hmm. We need to put two and two together. In other words, what happens in church is important to the degree that we both respond to it and live out its implications in all areas of daily life. Got it? What we get wrong. Let's get this. Every Sunday, in various shapes and forms, the liturgies, if I get the word right, liturgies of all kinds, our churches provide vehicles for us to respond to God in worship. Let me read that again. Every Sunday, in various shapes and forms, the liturgies of all kinds of churches provide vehicles for us to respond to God in worship. The sharing of the word, the sacraments, the singing of the songs, and the that lead us home, they are all vital to the worshiper. They are all vital to the worshiper. Let's go on. The writer says this, but if a worshiper does not engage with these mechanisms of devotion, then the heart may fail to experience the love of God for their lack of initiative. In other words, if we don't lean, we don't glean, and yet there is grace, sweet grace. He says, how we get it right. If music is provided for us, we engage with it enter into prayer with it. We don't spectate, view it, or get lost in thinking about which songs we prefer and which ones we don't. He says, we engage in the Eucharist. We engage in reading the scriptures, but we also engage in responding to God in the way we talk about our boss when they are not there. He says we engage in worship by thinking about how we are responding to God in the way we would speak to our loved ones. We engage our whole selves into a time of worship. We step in, we lean in, and then we expect God to meet us as we do. That's good. That's good. I like that. He says we engage our whole selves in a time of worship. We step in and then we lean in. That's good. He says, and we begin to develop rhythms in our lives that keep us thanking God at all times throughout the day. Oh, this is good. I like number four. Number four is rich, too. Number four is rich, too. We're almost done, y'all. We're almost done. And we're going to get out of here and enjoy some of this good weather we got, right? The writer says this. Oh, thank you, Tanya. Thank you. I just saw that. Okay, cool. Everybody having issues today. My producer got internet issues. Man, is there something going on? Blame Trump. if my co-host was here, he would say blame Trump. Anyway, I ain't gonna do it. But this is good. I hope you all are getting some out of this. Again, we're talking about five things every congregation must understand. That's what we're talking about. Amen. Now, last one, number five. Number five says this: when and where do we worship? The answer: we worship anytime and any place we can. Oh God, here we go. When and where do we worship? We worship anytime and any place we can. He says, first, before I speak to this topic, know that the gathering of the church to worship around the scriptures and the songs is vital to the life of a Christian, in my view. As a general statement, on a Sunday or in whatever time and space a community of Christians is gathering for worship that you and I can access, we should always be looking for ways to be with the body of Christ in a growing depth of community life. He says, while being alone in worship is both important and at severe times inevitable, We must not give up meeting together, as Paul said, or our faith will become fragile and fragmented. Having said that, this is where it kicks in. Having said that, this is also true. You and I don't need a comfortable seat and a well-planned out set of songs to worship. Come on now. We need a heart that is postured to worship. Oh, come on. That just helped me. I'll say that again, because see, we get real comfortable in church. He says, you and I don't need a comfortable seat and a whole bunch of musicians with a bunch of set up songs to worship. All you need is a heart that is postured. That means set up. Come on now. That means in position to worship. Come on now. He says, we can then worship anywhere. Because why? Worship is portable. Somebody take that home. Somebody going to take that with them today. Worship is portable. Come on now. Come on now. It's portable. The writer says this. He says, we can sing in the shower. Come on now. And it will change our hearts. We can listen to music and pray with it, and it will change our hearts. We can quietly thank God when we can't sleep in the middle of the night due to stress, and it will change our hearts. He says, watch this. Oh, my God. We can be in captivity, as many great saints are and have been, and we can meet God. Oh, my God. We can meet with God in worship. There are no limits to when and where we can worship. Oh, somebody ought to get this right now. You can worship God anywhere. Come on now. In the midst of going through, you can give him some praise. Oh, my, 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 my. Yeah. The writer says what we get wrong. He says, we often speak of worship in limited and limiting terms. We need to begin to see all of life as an opportunity to respond to God. Oh, all of life. Watch this. He says, then our community gatherings for worship have a context, feeding and fueling the life of the faith that can take a Christian through hell and back and to the ends of the earth. Yeah. So how do we get it right? He says, begin to make plans to engage with God as many times and at many places during the week you would not have normally chosen. I'll say it again. Begin to make plans to engage with God at many times and many places during the week you would have not normally chosen. Yeah. He says, try the office, start, see if worship, make worship a part of your design and your hope and your healing. That means take some time at work. You get a 15-minute break. What's the state law? You're guaranteed a half-hour lunch and 2 15-minute breaks. You can use one of them 15 minutes to go to your car and worship, or go to the break room with your headphones and just sit in the corner and worship. Come on now. Come on now. He says, fill your life with worship in all of its forms, and God will meet you in the middle of your life of worship. Amen. Amen. Look, bless the Lord. Amen. Look, y'all, this has been great. I've had an amazing, amazing time. Let me do this real quick, and we're going to get out of here. Father God, we just thank you for the time we've had. Lord, we just thank you, God, for allowing us again just to be here. Lord, we're just grateful, God, that we know that there's nothing that we've done to deserve this opportunity, God, but we're just grateful and thankful that you've allowed us to have this platform. So, God, we thank you, God, for Kingdom Baptist Church, God, for allowing us to use this space when they did not have to, God. So we say thank you, God. We thank you for the pastors of this church, God, and the leaders of this church, God. We thank you, God, for every church that's open in your name. And, God, we thank you for all of these listeners and watchers of Taking the Limits Off Radio, God. May they be blessed in as many ways that you can bless them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One more time, y'all. Last time. Come out. Meet us this Sunday, 11 o'clock, Family and Friends Day, 301 North Central. Y'all come on out. Hang out at your boys' church. Y'all come over here. Now, I won't be here, but y'all come on out. Y'all know I'm on assignment. Y'all know how I go. I'm over at the Ebenezer. Y'all come holler at your boy. But y'all come on over here this Sunday, Family and Friends Day. Y'all come out. Join in. Have a good time. I promise you, you won't regret it. It's going to be a good time in the Lord. Kingdom Baptist Church, 301 North Central, Family and Friends Day. Y'all come out, keeping the family together. That's the thing. I got to go. Y'all stay blessed. You have to drive through these streets. Do something. Oh, hold on. Put a pause. Put a pause on it. It's a song called Put a Praise on It. Y'all got, look here, Saturday, Kingdom Baptist Church, we send in our bowling squad. We put together a squad here at the church. We put together a squad. But we're bowling Saturday at Hillside Bowling Alley at 10 a.m. Or was it 10:30? What time is it? It's 10:30. 10:30 a.m. Saturday. Y'all come out. Help us out. It's church versus church. Y'all ain't ready for it. I ain't playing with y'all. It's church versus church. All the churches going to be out there. You had to get your team together, and y'all come out, and y'all celebrate with us, and we going out there. Look here. I'm going out there to get my bowl on. I'm going out there to get it in. So y'all need to come on out and get into Hillside Bowling Alley. Come out there. Join your boy. It's going to be a good time. Come on out. Join your boy. It's called the Battle of the Churches Bowling Tournament. Let me read the info. Hold on. Why don't it want to work? Why thing don't want to work? See, anytime you get ready to do something, folks always want to mess up something, and that don't work. Okay, Battle of the Churches Bowling Tournament, Hillside Bowling Alley, 4545 Harrison Street, Hillside. That's right across the street from Pat Hicks Church, y'all. The Freedom Missionary Baptist Church, right over there. Freedom Baptist Church, Hillside, right across the street. Right, actually, it's right next door. Hillside. Entry fee, $35 per person, four bowlers per team. Check-in is at 10:30. Check-in is at 10:30. Praise and worship is at 11, and then the bowling starts at 11:30. So y'all come out Saturday, April 21st. Four-man team. We got our squad. Y'all get ready. Four-man team. Check-in, 10:30. Praise and worship at 11 o'clock. Bowling at 11:30. Let me give y'all some of the churches that's taking place. Kingdom Baptist Church. Yes, we in the house. Rock of Ages. Mount Moriah. Second Baptist. Garden of Prayer. New Life Covenant. Progressive Baptist Church. United Baptist Church. And Broadview Baptist Church. All of us are going to be there. Hey, Pat, where the Freedom team at? Well, Freedom didn't put no team together. Y'all don't want to catch these hands. Look here. I don't play about my bowling. You show up out there, you step on that lane. You show up on that lane, all the friendliness goes out the door. I'm so silly. All right, I got to go. Anyway, if you got to drive through these streets called Chicago, seriously, meet me there. I'll be there. I don't know what lane I'm going to be on, but I'm going to be there. I'm going to try to find me a loud shirt to wear so y'all can make sure y'all, you know, what color we wearing too? I need to get some colors. Pat, Tyrone, what color we wearing for bowling? We need to get our color right now. Y'all know I likes to be, you know, I'm not a big fan of uniforms, but every now and then when you a team, then you need to be. Ain't nobody told us nothing. Y'all right next door, Pat. How come y'all didn't know? Y'all don't go over there and fellowship with the people at the bowling alley? Y'all ain't over there trying to save souls at the bowling alley? That's good ground over there. Y'all can go right up there. Look, you can tap somebody while they're playing one of them machines and say, do you know the Lord? Do you know the Lord? Look at y'all, I got to go. Y'all stay blessed, man. Have a good day. And if you got to drive through these streets, because y'all know it's a little warm out today, today out of all days, keep your head on the swivel. Y'all stay blessed, man. I'm out of here. T-T-L-O. Bye. That is not the song I meant to play. What is that? Thank you. Let's go with that. Come on. Let's.
I want to see you tonight. I want you
none
to come on.
Working. None of my songs going to work.
Well,
okay.
Tell your story now. About a man. Called Shouting John. John Jones. A dead church. They didn't believe in dancing. They didn't believe in speaking in other tongues. But all of